There's so much in the Word of God, and the thing that I want to share with you today, and we've said it over and over, but I just want to talk about a number of different things when it comes to healing, but just some of the revelations that I believe are key, not just for this moment and this conference, but that healing becomes just part of your everyday testimony. Not just a one-time healing. God doesn't just want to heal you one time. He wants you to walk in this supernatural divine healing. Amen? So that you're never just like, oh, I got a cold. Oh, yeah, my pain. I mean, you just get this attitude against sickness. It is not who I am. And it's not who I am because it's not who lives within me. The healer lives within me. So sign on the door, this is where healing lives. So if you come knocking on this door, devil, you better be ready that when I open it up, it's going to be with rebuke. I'm not opening the door to be like, oh, well, I guess I'm getting old, and oh, well, I guess this is the time, and oh, well, it makes sense because I did this to my body, or it makes sense because I was around that person the other day and they weren't feeling well, so that makes sense that I got it. No. When the devil comes knocking at the door, in fact, don't even open the door. Amen. Just yell at him, who do you think you are? All right, so before I do that, I want to give you a couple things, and this is going to be key in some of the things that I'm sharing today, and I'm going to share about some of these principles, but in the Life Foundations book that I had shared with you guys earlier, there's a couple key things, and one of those things is God's love for you. And this is a life message for me because I think that sometimes people think, oh, well, God's love is just that, oh, it's a Sunday school thing. And, you know, once I get it, it's a, whatever. No, the revelation of God's love is not a one-time revelation. It's something God's wanting to continue to deepen in you, because what happens is not only do you know who he is and how he sees you, then what happens is there's an attitude within you. When you know that God loves you, then who does the devil think he is? Yeah. Excuse me, I'm the loved of God. Amen. Excuse me, I'm the beloved of God, right? And you start getting an attitude of, I'm loved of God. And so when anything comes, whether it's sickness or debt or any kind of persecution, you're like, hey, you know, I know I'm loved of God, so this doesn't have to touch my emotions. Amen. See, when you get the revelation of God's love, what it does is it begins to have where your emotions are following God's love for you. See, so what happens so many times is that our emotions are trying to tell you what your reality is. So with those emotions, that also, this is why the enemy loves sickness, is because sickness has so many emotions to it, doesn't it? You're cranky, you're in pain, you're frustrated, you're fearful. He tries to bring all these emotions with sickness. And those emotions try to tell you this is what's always going to be. And with those emotions, the emotions are trying to paint the imagination of what's going to be. Well, if it's this bad now and the doctor says it's going to get worse, oh my goodness, how bad is this going to be? And then your emotions start to get stirred. And because your emotions feel so strongly, the devil says, see, because you feel it so strongly, it must be true. And guess what? Our feelings are not the Word of God. Our feelings get submitted to the Word of God. Our feelings get submitted to, and you know what? I know God loves me, so I don't care how I feel about anything right now. I know I'm loved of God, and therefore emotions, you will submit yourself to the love of God. So fear, perfect love does what? Casts out fear. Because when you know that you're loved of God, then what do you have to be afraid of? I mean, God Almighty loves you. And so what I want to do, this is a scriptural devotional about God's love for you. Now, these scriptural devotionals are really simple because they're just filled with what? Scriptures. Because sometimes we're like, Lord, I want to grow in a revelation of your love for me. Lord, I want to grow in a revelation of righteousness. Lord, I want to grow in a revelation of healing. But then you look at your Bible and go, well, where do I start? Where do I find those? And so I encourage you guys to get these because you can start meditating. I just go through these. I open it up. I'll spend time just going through things, and God gives me all kinds of revelation. So this is for, I'm going to have Matt, I'm going to have you help me this morning. This is God's love for you. The next one is understanding the new you. And these scriptures are about spirit, soul, and body. This is all about who you are in the spirit, who the spirit of God is inside of you. Because when you get a revelation, and I am in my message. I'm not just talking about product. I'm in my message. So listen up. is that when you understand that God loves you, and he loves you so much that when he gave you himself, he put himself inside of you. So when we start talking about spirit, soul, and body, I think spirit, soul, and body is one of the biggest revelations of healing. It's one of those rock solid foundations, because guess what? I'm healed because who lives within me? The healer. So I'm going to have you pass out this understanding the new you, and this one about, hold on just a second, this one about God's true nature. So in this, it's got all the different names of God. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our healer, the Lord our peace, the Lord our provider. And then every scripture that I could find, and you're going to find more, that's why there's blank pages, every scripture that talks about that part of his nature, because every promise is attached to who he is. He doesn't just speak promises for just throwing out promises. All the promises come from what? Who he is. So when you read a verse on healing, he's not just talking about your healing, he's talking about his character that lives within you. Because if we're talking about spirit, soul, and body, the healer, Jehovah Rapha, lives within you. When you know the healer lives within you, and that's your what? True identity. This is the next one on true identity. When you start to realize, you know what? I've got the healer living inside of me. That's who he is. The spirit of Almighty God, the fullness of God. You don't have a sliver of Jesus inside of you. Amen? Look at the person next to you and say, you're not a one sliver Christian. You got all of him. You got the fullness. Amen. You've got the fullness of the kingdom of God. You have the fullness of the character of God. So you have the provider lives inside of you. You've got the healer that lives inside of you. You've got the Prince of Peace that lives inside of you. Righteousness himself has made his home within you. Amen. You don't have just one sliver. You've got the fullness of the character of God. And when we're talking about healing, it's not trying to be like, oh, I've got to get healing. No, you realize the fullness of God lives within you. So there's no room for sickness. You've got to start seeing yourself as a complete full vessel versus a vessel walking around broken. Amen? Because how you see yourself will be the way you live. And so true identity, and then this, it's not just talking about how God sees you. True identity is when you start to see yourself the way God sees you. See, when you start to, guys, and I'm telling you, these are full of so many powerful scriptures throughout the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, because when you start to understand the identity, then when you look in the mirror, you're looking in the mirror and saying, ooh la la. It's all the French I know. But that's a good word. Ooh la la, right? When you start to look in the mirror, when you start to look at how, and then this is why the Word of God talks about it's a mirror. When you start to look into the mirror of God's Word, you get excited. You're not looking at it as a disqualifying, oh, well, I'm not doing that. Oh, I'm not doing that. Oh, I still got to do that. No, you look at it and say, Lord, I thank you that this is what you've done for me. And when I look at it today, I can say, yes, this is who I am. That's why when it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it talks about all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. For no matter how many promises God has spoken, for all the promises of God in him are yes. In who? In Christ. All the promises, every single one of them have been spoken yes over your life. And if you've heard me teach before, you've heard me say this. But you know, it's amazing how you believe God's saying yes to everyone else but you. Because this is what can happen is as you're sitting, even as you're sitting here and you're seeing other people raise their hand and they're healed and you're saying, okay, well, it's working for everybody else, but I guess it doesn't work for me. All the promises of God have been spoken over your life with a yes. That's why it's so powerful when with this ministry and what we teach here and with Charis Bible College and the foundations, we're saying, listen, it's the gospel. It's not religion. It's not about based on how good you've been, how holy you are, what thoughts you thought this morning. It's about the goodness of God. You make healing about him. That's why then when Jesus was on the cross with his arms stretched out wide, it was yes over your life. Yes, by these stripes, you are healed today. You, not your neighbor, Well, your neighbor too, but I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to your neighbor, okay, man? You. He said, yes, he said, it is finished for you. It is finished. Sickness was finished that day on the cross. That day, the enemy's destructive, lying power was defeated. And all the devil has is just deception. He just has deception. So he's going to throw out lies, and he's going to throw out attacks, and then he's going to throw out emotions to try to tell you something is real. And what I love is that God brought you here to remind you what is real. And more than what is real, what is truth?
Amen.
Because I'll tell you, you got all kinds of facts going on in your life, don't you? And I'll tell you, facts are different than truth.
Amen.
The fact is, yes, you might not have any money in your bank account, but the truth is Jehovah Jireh lives within you. Amen.
Amen.
And you're going to choose what's going to be your reality. What has the power to tell you what your future is? What are you going to believe is your present life? And I'll tell you, sometimes you have to preach. You have to preach to yourself.
Amen.
Amen? I love that we got such great teachers in Andrew. Miss Audrey, she's going to light you guys up. I'm just going to pour gasoline, and then she's going to go, okay? Carly, Daniel, the Hartmans, Greg, Barry. Guys, I'll tell you right now, you've been given some amazing teachers in the body of Christ. But you are the person you listen to the most. And the devil's always trying to hijack your personal pronouns. That's like a global thing right now. And he'll make it sound like it's you talking. Oh, I'm never going to get well. I'm never going to get out of debt. My kids are never going to obey, right? The world is never going to get better. It sounds like it's you. And this is the thing, that you can start getting so familiar with your own voice that you think it's the truth. But I'm telling you, the enemy will try to hijack your personal pronoun. And guess what? That's a lie of the enemy. And you say, listen, that's not who I am. No, my kids will obey. And I got a hallelujah from the side, like, woohoo, kids. I got my great kids here today. You get to speak over those things. No. And you have to start preaching to your heart. Because your heart's going to try to tell you what's true, and you got to be able to tell your heart, no, this is who you really are. Body, this is how you will obey. You are not in charge of this day. Pain, you don't get to tell me what I can and cannot do. Amen?
Amen.
Emotions, you do not steal my joy. Joy is mine. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is Christ in me. So I rebuke depression. You have power with your words. Your words have power. And if those words line up with the word of God, amen, it's a two-edged sword. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I have another one for you. Attitude of authority. You know what? I believe your authority in Christ should have an attitude.
Amen.
And I'm talking about a really good attitude. An attitude that rises up and stands on what the word of God is telling you. You know what? This is my authority. No, this is what God has said. No, devil, this is how I'm resisting you. I'm not just saying, leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name because.
Amen.
Right? And you remind him as he's scampering out the door, all the reasons why he has been defeated. And so this is for someone who says, you know what, I need to get a better attitude. Or how about this? Somebody who's had a really, really bad attitude. And you need to replace it with authority. Okay, can I get that to one? All right. Because here's the thing. When you start to understand, guys, and I'm telling you, all these scriptures, you've got a Bible, you've got all these scriptures, but I think these will help you because they'll help you start to write and see. I like it that you just stood up and you're like, I got a bad attitude. It's just me. It's me. I have the sucky attitude. I'm telling you, the enemy is afraid when we start understanding who we really are. And this is one of the things about sickness, is that sickness so steals your everyday. And if he can steal one day at a time, he steals your purpose. If he can steal one day at a time, one sickness at a time, one symptom at a time, he can steal your destiny. Because sometimes what we do is we step back and resign ourselves to, this is my new reality. And can I tell you today, you are not just standing for what belongs to you in healing. You're not just standing for your healing. You didn't just come here for healing, to get renewed in your mind, to see a work of the Lord, to rebuke and resist the devil. No one's resisting the devil here for you. That's your job. So you didn't just come here to resist the devil and see him flee. You came here to get back your destinies. You came back here to get back some purposes and dreams that you've laid on the table and said, well, that's not going to happen because I'm not feeling well. Well, that'll be later. And the devil will say, that's right, later. Just one day at a time, I just want to steal from you. And one of the things, the violent take it by force, you got to be able to say, you can't take my life. You can't take my health. And by God, you cannot take my destiny. You cannot take my purpose. You can't take my finances. Because what's amazing about sickness is it doesn't only just drain your energy, it drains your bank account too, doesn't it? And so when you look at this dynamic of healing and you start to understand who he is within you, this is where all of the thanksgiving and joy starts to come out. You know what? I am healed. Can I tell you, you're going to have to take some steps of faith to release joy. And let me say this. Because sometimes we're joyful after the miracle. But can I tell you today, you have to be joyful before the miracle. You got to be joyful in the journey. I've shared this testimony before, but the Lord reminded me of it this morning during praise and worship. So my sister had gotten COVID in end of 2020, around Thanksgiving time. She got it really bad, and so we were in the hospital. And every day she was getting worse, and so about 7 days in the hospital, and then they put her on the ventilator. And she was on the ventilator for 57 days, and she was dying. And, you know, her body swelled up, you know, her feet started to cave in, her organs started to shut down, her blood started to coagulate in her body. Her lungs were ripping. And we were allowed, one person at a time was allowed to go in. And so between her husband, myself, and my sister, and different family members, we had a schedule of going in. And there's a song, if you have never listened to our scene or heard our production on David, King of Jerusalem, there's a song in it that talks about David. And so it's David and all of his men, they're getting ready to go to battle. And it's, whom shall I fear? The Lord, he is my rock. Whom shall I fear? It's a powerful song. It's a warring song. And I'm listening to that. We've got worship going on in our room. We've got scriptures all around her room. Because whenever the nurses would come in, it's like, don't say stupid stuff. And I remember we had a nurse come in, bless her heart. She was saying stupid stuff. And she left, and I looked at Julie and I said, well, she's just stupid. Because none of that's true, is it? Stupid! But I remember listening. It was one of the praise and worship songs we were doing today, one of the very first ones. I'm going to praise the Lord, oh my soul. And I just started dancing next to the bed. Right? It's like, and I, again, probably a little bit of pride here, but I made sure the curtain was shut so that I could really go after it, because I wasn't going to be stopped by what the nurses thought about that crazy lady in there. Because, you know, I had my gown and like, amen. And I was laying hands on her as I was doing it, taking the covers back. Right? I told her, I said, I touched you so much, you probably felt violated. I said, I touch every single part of your body. Your bowels aren't working? Well, hallelujah! Everybody needs a sister who will do that.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, you have to determine that you're going to have an attitude. Part of an attitude of authority is the joy, yes, and is the thanksgiving,
yes,
and the celebration,
yes,
of what you know is coming.
Yes.
And there was all kinds of family things around Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day. We didn't do as a family, and we just kept saying, okay, well, when Julie wakes up, when Julie gets out of the hospital, we're going to do that. It was just like, okay, let's go ahead and get it on our schedules. So we were already planning our celebrations as a family when she woke up. And so many times, people are afraid to hope. They're afraid to speak things out. Because they're thinking, what if it doesn't happen? And then I've got to answer all the questions of the things I said. It's not about, who could care less what anybody says about your journey? You're going to have to start declaring things that people go, well, and it doesn't look like it in the natural, but you know it, you see it, you believe it, you're living it in your heart, and you start to speak it as if it's real. Because it is real for you. And it's definitely real to the devil. And it was real on the cross before you ever were born. So whether other people think it's real or not doesn't matter.
Amen.
So you have to start declaring. And I remember when my sister was ill, that was one of the things. I need to go back and capture all the things, because there was all kinds of stuff we said to the students, live stream, to the, you know, the student testimonies. We were doing productions. We were just saying, oh yeah, my sister, she's going to be healed. Doctor's saying this, but this is what's going to happen. And we started prophesying, declaring in the moment from the stage.
Yep.
But what if the devil said, well, Carrie, you need to be careful of saying those things, because as an authority and as a teacher, if it doesn't happen, then it's going to discourage people, so don't say anything. No, I'm going to say it. Why? Because it's real and it's true. And you're going to have to make a determination. You know, that's part of the attitude of authority, that you're going to have this joy, right? This joy of what God has done. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6, I love this verse, it says, I will bring health and healing. I will heal him and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. You know, it's not only healing that God brings, but you know what? He brings health. That's what we were talking about earlier. God's not just wanting this revelation of healing and this victory, but he wants to bring the victory of health. Because guess what? You got a lot to do for God. Really? That's how you responded to that? You have a lot to do for God. You got a great purpose and you got a great destiny. We've told Andrew, he's not allowed to die. He doesn't know, but if he dies, we're going to raise him from the dead. Amen? I'll be like, Jesus, do not show him the glory. Don't show him the glory yet. We need him back here. I'll prop him up with pillows and keep preaching. Amen. No, God's got so many things for us. And so it's not just healing, it's health. And with that healing and health, there's this abundance of peace and joy that you and I get to live in. You know, when we've talked about this throughout this conference, everybody has mentioned it, but can I give you some verses today? That I want you to just have in your notes, because we talk about this the aspect of our healing is part of the atonement. Our healing is part of our salvation. And if we're not careful, that can just start to become one of those Christian phrases that we kind of tuck away and we say, amen, amen. But we actually don't know where to find it and we don't have a revelation of it. But when we talk about salvation, praise God, and I thought Daniel did such a great job. We don't ask for the forgiveness of sins and then asking God to wait for the manifestation of it, right? No, we're healed. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. Now, are there things that you still need to let go of? Yeah. To God, he's like, what are you talking about? I threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, you've been forgiven. In the same way, sickness, as far as from the east is to the west, doesn't have to come near you.
Yes.
Because as your sinfulness and ungodliness was thrown away, so was sickness. So you can be, so when sickness tries to come near you and be like, excuse me, as far as the east is from the west, I rebuke you. You're not allowed near my home. You're not allowed in my body. You're not allowed in my children and in my family. And you start treating healing as you celebrate your salvation, you celebrate your healing. We know these verses, but in Psalms 103, verse 2, I want to give these to you guys today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We've already talked about this. Who forgives all your iniquities. Now that's beautiful. I mean, you could preach all day that he's forgiven all your iniquities, every single one of them. So if there's something you still have shame and regret about today, God also wants to heal you of that. He wants you to get a revelation that nothing of the past, this is for somebody specifically, nothing of the past and what you did is a result of what you think you have to deal with today in your body. You feel like you deserve this? Yep, it's just the consequence of sin. Listen, Jesus took care of your sin. And even stupid stuff we did with our bodies, things that we can run it down and we can shoot it up. And so the people would say, well, you know, that's just the effect of drugs. You know, you just have to live with those consequences. God heals consequences. For a Summer Family Bible Conference, Todd White was here. And he was praying for all those who had track lines from doing drugs and cutting. And we had dozens that all the lines disappeared. All the track lines disappeared. All the cut marks disappeared. Why? Because when God heals, he heals consequences. And so there's some of you that feel like this disease, and yes, you'd love to be healed, but at the end of the day, if you're not, it's probably because you did some stupid stuff and you've just really disappointed with the Lord, and that's why you're where you are today. That is a lie of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Right there? You? Right there? You're healed and whole. It has nothing to do with your past. So when it says he heals all, forgives all your iniquities, and it says who heals just a few of the iniquities, of the diseases. No, it says all. And it's amazing how we will categorize sickness. And I remember one of the revelations that I got when I was in Bible school absolutely revolutionized my life. Andrew said, for God, healing a headache or healing cancer, there's no difference. And I was like, most of you are like, yeah, duh. No, that was like a revelation moment to me, because what we'll do is like, oh, cancer, man, that's big. I mean, that's like spread out over your body. You know, a headache, it's just like, I can live with a headache. I can't live with cancer. Listen, if God can heal a cold, he healed everything. And I remember so when we were in Russia, we worked at a drug rehab center. We had a Bible school in one of the rehabs. And so a lot of these young men and young women had sexually transmitted diseases. They had HIV. They had AIDS. So part of getting them saved and discipled and Spirit-filled was then teaching life foundations of God's love for them and who they were in the Spirit and now their identity, because they're like, oh, I'm always going to be a former drug addict. No, you're not a former drug addict. You're a son of God, right? You're a woman of God. You're a daughter of God. And so we had to teach them identity and then their authority, right? So if temptation came back and if lies came back, how did they deal with authority? But within all of that, we were teaching healing. Because God lives within you, you're healed. Well, but I did drugs. Yeah, and? Well, you know, this is the consequence of you know, all the sexual stuff, all the sexually transmitted diseases, all the stuff. No, God can heal consequences. And that revelation kept coming back to me over and over. The whole 16 years, I was in Russia. And when there was one of the young men who had gone through the program, then he became a leader, then he became the director of the rehab, but he was a good friend, had AIDS. And so he was always, everybody that came, he was always getting prayer, And so we just kept, you know, again, kept teaching. And I remember one day, it was just like, it was so funny because we were just like walking through the doorway, like even in the door frame. And he stopped and he goes, Carrie, can you just pray for me? For, you know, I want to be healed of AIDS. And so we were always, every time they saw us, just, hey, pray for us. So it was just kind of like we were getting ready to go in for tea. We had just finished teaching. We're getting ready to go in for tea. And it was just kind of like, okay, stopped in the doorway and laid hands on him. And in that moment, man, God gave me a picture of just all of these cells in his body were completely like bursting. Like all of these AIDS cells were just bursting inside of his body. And so we just prayed, we rebuked, we said, you are healed and whole in Jesus' name. And 2 weeks later, he came back with a completely clean report that he was healed of AIDS. And because of that, then he was able to get married. Now he has 2 or 3 kids, maybe more since then, all clean. Why? Because whether it's a cold or it's AIDS, he heals all diseases. And stop letting people tell you a level 1 or a level 4. And by giving it a level, what we do is we allow it to give us power. And with more levels comes more fear. With more levels comes more restrictions. With more levels comes more boundaries of what's not possible. Stage 1 cancer, stage 25 cancer, it's dead in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stage 1 melanoma, stage 400 melanoma. It doesn't matter. It's dead in Jesus. And so when he says he heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Listen, y'all, fine wine, you get better with age. Come on. You got to determine, you know what? The years that the cankerworm has eaten, guess what? God is lengthening my days and adding years to your life. I don't know why this popped into my head, but it's for someone. Not only is adding years to your life, he's adding strength to your bladder. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. My son asked me when he was little, he goes, Mom, why do you cross your legs every time you sneeze? Okay. Strength. Come on, don't accept anything that the world says is normal. You are not of this world any longer. Amen? Okay, I want to do this real fast. I want to give you a couple scriptures, and I feel like this is something that is really important to hear. And again, you know it, but I'm going to give you scriptures for it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. And it says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and this was after John the Baptist had died. It said, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. Amen. Goes on to see here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every all, every disease and sickness among the people. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. And when the multitudes knew it, they followed him and received them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 says, so his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. All of them. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Luke chapter 6, verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and he healed them. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, then Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're going to have to determine, are you one of the all?
Woo!
Yes. Glory.
Is one of your diseases one of the every diseases?
Yes.
Is one of the demonic spirits one of every demonic spirit?
Yes.
Stop pulling yourself out of what the Word of God has provided.
Amen.
Who do you think you are that you're so special?
Yeah.
That your disease is too big for God? Who do you think you are that somehow it's worse for you than anyone else? All. Every disease. All iniquity. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is his promise to you and I today. One of the things I want to give this away. One of the things is you start to get into the Word of God. And this is why, as you've been hearing, I pray that you've been taking notes. If you haven't been taking notes, can I encourage every single one of you, you need to get the package. Go back and order the package of these sermons, because you need to keep hiding the Word of God within your hearts. You keep needing to hear these proclamations of what God is not only preaching to you, he's prophetically speaking to you, because that's, again, like Lee said the other day, that's why you came to this conference, and that's why these speakers are speaking these messages, that Andrew didn't give us a list of what scriptures we were supposed to use and what messages we were supposed to preach. He said, you hear from God. So we heard from God on what you needed. So that means that these messages are things you need to hear, not only once, you need to hear again.
Amen.
Because many times what happens while we're listening to the Word of God, the enemy does come to immediately steal the Word. You know how he's immediately stealing the Word? It's when somebody says something, you're like, and then what does the enemy do? Yeah, but I don't know about that for me. Yeah, I don't know, but that's easy for Andrew to say. Well, that's easy for Carly to say. Yeah, she can be that bold because, yeah, she's already seen healing. But me having boldness, right? And in that minute, the enemy will start having you try to argue with the word you just heard. He's trying to steal that from you.
Right.
And so I can tell you, there's multiple times the enemy's tried to steal the word from you, even in the middle of this conference.
Yes.
And so you need to get this and you need to put this in. Because once you start getting the Word of God inside of you, guess what happens? You learn to not be anxious about anything. You start being able to give everything to God with what? Praise and joy and thanksgiving. No matter what anything looks like, you have the joy because you know what truth is. And so you're able to give all anxiety, all worry, all doctor's reports, all symptoms. You can say, I'm not going to be anxious about anything. I'm going to give it to him and I'm going to rejoice as I give it to him. Not like, right? Man, let's give it to him with joy. Poor me, please, Jesus. No, Jesus, thank you, here it is. It's all yours. I get my hands off this thing because it is ugly.
Amen.
And it is mean And this thing bites, and I don't want it in my life, so I give it to you, Jesus. I cast all my cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He loves you. He's like, please, don't hold on to this any longer. And then it says, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. When you have a peace that you know what God is able to do. You have a peace. So I wrote this devotional, and I wrote this while my sister was going through her COVID battle. And that's why in it, it says, to my sister Julie and our family who fought with peace and saw the glory of God's love revealed. So my sister, let me finish the story, did come off the ventilator. She was 88 days in the hospital. She had to learn to walk again, talk again, eat again. But when her kids came to see her after 88 days of not seeing their mom, they had this big sign that said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. She's healed. She's whole. I'm pretty sure she's going to be in full-time ministry. Whether she wants to be or not, I'm going to see that happen. Fighting with peace. Because there's a dynamic that once you know, there'll be things that try to come back on your body or come back to your heart, come back to your feelings. And that's when you begin to fight with what? The Prince of Peace. You know why you can fight with peace? Because the battle's already won. Right? So now you can live in peace because the battle's not won. You have to be like, I'm in this battle. Yes, in the sense of you're having to stand in what God's done, but the battle's been won by him. That's why you can fight with peace. No, 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 no. I rebuke this. You're not stealing my peace. I know what I have. I know who gave it to me. I know what belongs to me. And I know I have the power to kick the enemy in the butt. Come on. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the right. He doesn't get the ability to speak. Who do you think you are? So I want to give this to someone, Matt, someone who looks like they need peace. Or boxing gloves. So I wanna close in prayer. Every disease, every iniquity, God's healed all. And so what you need to do today is determine that you're not gonna disqualify yourself from what was finished on the cross. And I just felt like there's some people that as you are looking around and seeing some other things happen, the enemy's trying to steal your hope. And you got to be able to say, no, I'm one of the all. I'm one of the all. It's mine. Every disease, every sickness, every demonic thing, every impossible situation, there's no categories. Just like there's no, guys, I'm telling you right now, just like there's no categories of sickness, there's no categories of sin. Amen? And so sin is sin, and God took care of it all. So no matter what your past or what you came from, God has healed it. God has forgiven you. No matter what sickness, God has done it today. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we celebrate what you have done. Lord, right now, we just thank you that you love us today. And so Father, I just speak over everyone right now. Lord, I thank you that just as we have received salvation by faith, right now we receive the love of God right now by faith. We receive it and say, Lord, I thank you that you love me. Lord, I thank you that you love me. Just lift up your arms and just thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you love me. Lord, and because you love me, you have healed me. Lord, because you love me, you live inside of me. Repeat after me. Lord, thank you that your spirit lives within me. I'm not incomplete. I'm not broken. I'm not dysfunctional. I am whole because your fullness of your spirit lives within inside of me. And so when the devil looks at me, he's looking at a roaring lion, filled and whole, healed in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you that right now I'm one of all that you have healed. Say it with joy. I'm one that you have healed. All. Every sickness, every disease, every sin in the name of Jesus. Now celebrate. Thank the Lord for what he's done. And God doesn't just heal every disease and every sickness and every iniquity. He heals it all the time. Not just one time, all the time. No matter what battle, no matter any battle, you have won the victory. It is finished. Amen.